Blog Talk Radio.
Not a whole lot going on. A small town Friday night. Revving up at a red light. On your mark, get set, go. Half a mom and pop restaurant. Same four trucks parked out front. I guess you gotta make your own fun when you're stuck in a place this slow. There's only too many the salvation around here that seem to work. Whiskey or the Bible, a shot glass or revival. When you don't seem to run on either side of the fence, people act like you don't make sense. These big town dreams that I've been chasing will never come true if I wind up staying. And I don't want to fall in the same rut that everybody here seems to be stuck in. Now, why do I hang around in this church pew or bar stool kind of town? I'm like that AM station that never comes in right. Till you pass the city limit sign, that's the only time it all gets clear. Well, it's crystal clear that I just need to find a place where there is no lines, and nothing like it is around here. Someplace where it don't feel like this world revolves around. Whiskey or the Bible, a shot glass or revival. When you don't seem to run on either side of the fence, people act like it don't make sense. These big town dreams that I've been chasing will never come true if I wind up staying. And I don't want to fall in the same rut that everybody here seems to be stuck in. Now, why do I hang around in this church pew, a barstool kind of town? Here it sometimes feels just like this world falls around. Whiskey or the Bible, a shot glass or revival. When you don't seem to run on either side of the fence, people act like it don't make sense. These big town dreams that I've been chasing will never come true if I wind up staying. And I don't want to fall in the same rut that everybody here seems to be stuck in. Now, why do I hang around in this church pew or barstool kind of town? Yeah, I need to get out of this church pew or barstool kind of town.
Everybody, welcome to another night of Full Spectrum Radio. I am Matt, and with me always is Dennis, but it seems like it's probably going to be for a short time this evening. What's going on, man?
Hey, brother. And, yeah, you're probably right. Well, I'm not sure. I may hang in with the whole show. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to be rude. If I do end up cutting the night short, it's... Well, I hope you understand. My best friend has been going on vacation for a month, and I finally got her back, so I'm kind of hanging out with her, and having a beverage or many.
Well, welcome back, Terry, first off. Secondly, we both have some interesting stuff going on this weekend, don't we?
Oh, man, I have an awesome thing going on this weekend. If you're in the Richmond area, was that my lead-in to talk about mine?
That would be it.
Oh, okay, just making sure. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't script this thing. This is live radio, so if we step on each other or, you know, the dog barks or the kid pukes in the background, it's live radio. Get over it. But, yeah, this weekend, man, I've got some awesome things going on. I have Saturday night, we're all getting together. This is me, Transcend Paranormal, and All Seeing Paranormal. We're meeting at Henricus Historical Park. They've asked me to speak about remote viewing and attachments. Howard from All Seeing Paranormal is going to talk about the paranormal and its effects on today's modern world. And then there's a four-hour investigation going on. Now, Henricus Historical Park was started in 1611. It's actually the second foundation in the New World. 1607, Jamestown was settled. 1611, Henricus was settled. So I've got some awesome EVPs out of this location. Just a phenomenal location. The energy itself is crazy. But, yeah, if you're in the Richmond area, by all means, you got to join us. Hit me on a message. Hit me on a text. You know, I'll make sure to send the information and share it with you. But go to transcendparanormal.com and make sure to buy your tickets. There's 40 limited slots.
And is there do they have a current headcount of how many are left or anything?
Well, last I knew, I think there were like 28. So there's only, I think, well, let's say roughly 10 slots available to where you can join us. I don't know if there's any wiggle room in that. I don't know if they'll, you know, maybe bump it to 50 or, you know, or even do 42. I don't know. I'm not running the event, so I don't know what the quote-unquote wiggle room is in the number. I will tell you, though.
What time does it start?
We're looking at a start time of 6 p.m. By the time that we do the open Q&A, the guest talks, and we're going to run through some EVPs that have already been captured at Henricus. The idea is that we're going to run 6 to midnight, and, you know, there's a four-hour investigation that is part of it. So we're looking about 2 hours that we're going to spend time chilling in what is called the usual. Now, the usual is a building that was used as like the common gathering hall. It is one of the only buildings on the whole location that has power. So dress accordingly. You know, Mother Nature here lately, by the way, hasn't figured out what accordingly is. Here we are in March in Virginia, and we've had sleet and snow for the past 2 days. you crazy psychotic bitch, please take your bipolar meds.
You're
doing
welcome,
real well with this.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that reminds me. Matt, I love you, brother. You know that. We've, you know, been great on the air for the last almost 2 years, but stop sending this shit my way, man. I apologize last week for laughing at you that we were in the 60s and 70s and y'all had snow, but I didn't think you would be such a vindictive little bitch to send all this my way. Stop it. Damn it.
Yeah, well,
oh, by the way,
I'm almost done.
Yeah, I hope so. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your weekly Richmond, Virginia weather report. It sucks. I hate this. Stop it. Matt, it's all your fault, and I'm going to blame you.
That's, all right.
That's the weather report in a nutshell.
All right, well, also, if you're going to be, I see that Scott has called in, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit of intro in a second. Yes, if you're in the Chicago area this weekend, March 23rd on Sunday, I will be running a tour with Ursula Bielski, and it's the proceeds are actually going for a very, very good cause. I believe it made national news. The girl that killed her sister because she felt unappreciated. That happened here in Illinois. Did you hear about that, Dennis? Out by you or no?
No, I'm kind of uninformed.
Okay, well, there was a girl who stabbed her sister 40 times to death in a home that's actually not far from me. And it's because she was jealous of her sister and felt unappreciated. Well, the proceeds are going, of all the ticket sales, are going to help the family pay for burial and, you know, basically all the funeral expenses and stuff like that. So it's mine and Ursula's little way of giving back to the community for such a tragic event. But there are
that was 4 to 6 weeks ago that happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so
I do remember seeing that on the news. And my utmost sympathies and biggest prayers to the family. So
yeah, it's all going to help Dora's family. We have a tour set up. We're going to be running the bus. I thought it was fitting for me to do something paranormal on my birthday because that is my actual birthday. So Sunday, come out, wish me happy birthday. Tickets are $40. You can get the information on ChicagoHauntings.com. There's a couple things on my page. I'm going to be posting more about it tomorrow also that you can find on the CPR Matt page. Other than that, if you're in the area and you got time to come out Sunday, it's going to be interesting. And even though it's kind of a sad thing, we're going to keep it as fun as we possibly can. And just completely informative. Ursula is one of the best tour guides I have ever experienced on anything in my life. It's fun walking around Chicago with her because she's like, oh, you see that building over there? Yeah. Oh, well, this, and this, and this is what it was before. And back in the turn of the century, this happened, and it only used to be this amount of floors. And like, it's amazing walking around with her. She's just such a phenomenal historian and presenter also. Do you have anything else to add, Dennis, or are we going to kick this off?
Other than you'll definitely see post on my page, CPR Dennis, also. If Matt plugs it and Ursula's involved in it, you can guarantee yourself that I'm going to push it as well. this is a family that I think truly needs all the help that they can get. And I think it's phenomenal that Ursula is kicking this and pushing it.
She has such a damn big heart, and she's such a sweetheart.
If you have any room in your heart, and even just the slightest room in your wallet that you can step in and help, I'm sure the family needs it. Otherwise, Ursula wouldn't be putting her name on it. So,
exactly.
There we go. So watch for the plugs from both Matt and I, CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, Facebook, Twitter. You will, I'm sure, find something on ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com and the Facebook. But it's definitely worth it. We don't put our name on anything that we don't have full faith and confidence in. That I will promise you. But, yeah. So I say we bring Scott in. Let's see what he's about. By the way, first and foremost, I want to tell Scott is United States Air Force. He's also the founder of ALPS, which is an investigative group out of California. And, you know, above and beyond, I want to say thank you to him just for his service. So, normally, ladies and gentlemen, I run the board. However, tonight I am off-site, so I'm not able to run the board. So, this is usually the part where I will, you know, screen the call in and make sure that we have who we expect to be calling in and put them live. But
I got it taken care of, brother. Just,
but Matt and I are both having to do it from our phones, so.
But yes, just real quick, it's ALPS is what ALPS stands for. It's Angels of Light Paranormal Society. It's between Scott and Anna Hill. That had a couple different things going on throughout, but as the Angels of Light Paranormal Society has grown now to 7 members, including Anna Hill, Scott Wolf, who we have with us tonight, Calvin Onstead, Faye Navarro, Roxy Rodriguez, Jim Riggie, or Riggie, that's probably the only one I'm going to screw up, and Jennifer Ferguson. But they are out of California. So he is in sunny CA right now. I'm jealous as hell of him because that's honestly one of my favorite places to be. And so now I have this stupid little delay thing going on with my phone to actually bring him live. So 1 second. Scott, you with us, mate?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, man. How are you doing out in sunny California, Ed jerk?
I'm doing great. It is beautiful out here. I think it was about 75 degrees here, so sorry to tell you that.
I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
So, Scott, I do want to say, and from Dennis and I both, thank you so much for your service and everything. It did definitely means a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, I will say this. I understand that, you know, you're in California. However beautiful the weather is right now, Matt, we have to laugh at him because come July, when we're in a location that's about lower to mid-70s, and he's out there in, you know, upper 90s, sweating his balls off, doing an investigation. Neener, neener, neener.
yeah, it gets a little hot out here in the summer to be running around, especially in places that aren't air-conditioned.
Yeah, what is is Marysville by?
We're about, I'd say, 45 minutes, a little bit northwest of Sacramento.
Oh, okay, yeah, so you're in a very, very all-year-round temperate city, and I guess I'm trying to look at it on a map. Okay, yeah, I know exactly where it's at.
The yearly temperature there, annual average, is probably, what, 73?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. You know, sometimes we have a little bit cooler winter for us is, you know, 40s and 50s. But, you know, this winter has been rare, and it's been, you know, 60s and 70s most of the winter. So it's been nice.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry for you. Like, did y'all even have heavy enough coats to handle 60 and 70?
I'm telling you, I'm from Wisconsin originally, and I've been away from Wisconsin for so long, and when it gets down to 40, I am absolutely freezing. I am so spoiled, it's not even funny.
How long ago did you move away from Madison?
I joined the Air Force in 92, and I went down to Texas for my boot camp, so I've been basically away from Wisconsin since 92.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
You know what? Actually, that place I was talking about, Club Lamarck, that mm-hmm. I used to go to all the time, has been open since, like, 84. It's off of East Washington, not far from, just a little bit, I think, yeah, a little bit west of where the mall is.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that place was, and that's I forgot to ask you how long ago it was that you moved from there, because I'm, like, naming shit in your pile, I don't know.
Yeah, I you know, my partying days were, you know, back in college, and that was a while ago.
So, and why don't you
that's
give
a
us a
time
little...
frame that we won't bump into, ladies and gentlemen. To protect those involved, we will not discuss the time frame.
Yeah.
So, kick it off, why don't you give us a little rundown of Alps?
Well, basically, the way it started, Anna Hill is the founder, and she's the director. She started the group several years ago, and she decided to put together, she wanted to have an all-female group to start out with, basically made up of intuitives, and that was kind of going to be their thing. And so they did that for a little while. And then the membership dwindled a little bit, so she joined up with a couple of other areas, groups, and kind of investigated with them. And in the meantime, I was stationed out in Las Vegas, and I was a part of a team called Vegas Valley Paranormal, and I was the lead investigator there. And then I got sent here, and I was going to start a team myself because I couldn't find anybody in the area that I really clicked with. I thought that their beliefs matched mine. So I put an ad out, and Anna sent me a message and, you know, said that she was thinking about starting a group, and she was in a group now and stuff like that. And we talked for a little while, and I just found that, you know, really everything that she believed in, I believed in, we kind of had the same philosophy. And so she was with a group and invited me to come along to some of the meetings, but it just didn't work out for me. And then one day she contacted me and said, hey, I'm going to start my group back up again. Do you want to help out? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, so we started things off, and we're kind of a technical group and kind of an intuitive group. We have a couple of people, myself included. I'm sensitive. Anna's an empath, and she's sensitive. And then we have, you know, one other member that is sensitive. So, you know, we kind of play off of that. And then we kind of, you know, use the tech also to try to help bolster our claims for whatever we're experiencing.
Yeah, and Anna definitely is a complete sweetheart. I've talked to her a few times, and just always excited, always happy. She seems to know her stuff pretty damn well. So that was
she's a ball of energy, to say the least.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. So all right, on the tech, I mean, obviously, if you get into the intuitive stuff, sky's the limit. What do you normally do as far as to incorporate tech into that? What kind of equipment, what kind of procedures do you guys go through with that?
Well, we kind of, when Anna and I got together, because I was more the tech side, you know, I brought my knowledge into it from my experience in Vegas, and we kind of decided that, you know, let's use our personal experiences, but let's use tech to try to show our clients, you know, this is why we think this is going on in your house, not just, you know, I walked in, I had this feeling, I saw this person, whatever, the you know, the psychic portion of that. It's great to have that, but it's also great to be able to give somebody tangible evidence. So, you know, we got, we went through the first couple investigations with just, you know, kind of your K2s and cameras and stuff like that. And so as we went on, we got a DVR system. We're up to a 6-camera DVR system and, you know, K2s, millimeters. I just bought a pair of full spectrum point of view glasses that we just used on our case 2 weekends ago. And, you know, we try to incorporate whatever we can just to try to get the best evidence that we're able to.
Yeah, have you guys had any luck with the DVR system?
You know, I'm kind of on the fence with that one. It's a great tool to have, but it's so time-consuming to go through all that video. Because initially, I was the one reviewing the video, and, you know, I took it home with me, and after a point, I'm like, there's nothing happening here, you know. We're not really capturing anything for all the work we go through. So I don't know. I mean, it's a great tool to have just in case you do catch something when you're, you know, not in the room and the camera is set up and running, but sometimes it can just be a complete pain.
Yeah, I'm on the fence, too. Just it's great to have another pair of eyes, for sure, and have 4 or 6 or whatever. But I started going through, and unless it's going to be a ginormous place that we don't have enough people to cover, I don't even set it up anymore. I mean, I have 3 right now. I have 2 4 channels, and I have a 16 channel.
Hmm.
And it's like, yeah, okay, try and review a 16 channel.
No, thank
it's like
you.
A month, even for an eight hour investigation, it's like a month review of just watching stuff, and it's like, oh no, look, the curtain. No, it's just the breeze coming through the. Oh yeah, I watched that 9 times.
Yeah, dust orb. Here goes another dust orb.
Oh, now, don't get me started.
I will say this. You know, I teamed up with All Seeing Paranormal Society. ASPS. They set up their 8 channel. I set up my team's 4 channel. And we have some things on the DVR system that we cannot explain. One, and I, for the life of me, I would much rather be an asshole and go, you know what, this just doesn't make sense. As much as it pains me to say it, I can't debunk this one. It makes absolutely no sense. We actually have a storm door being opened by a hand that you can see through the forearm. I got to give them kudos, man. They caught something that I can't debunk. So, I mean, like you said, Matt, you know, it's just an extra set of eyes. But if a set of eyes actually saw this and it was a team member and they went, you know what, I saw this, everybody would be like, yeah, come on, really? But to be able to look at it on recorder and go, what the hell was that? And that's huge.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in video. You know, I went out and bought 2 Sony Night Shots, and because I wanted to have that in my hand, you know, video capability to be able to take it around. And I also wanted to be able to document, you know, what we were doing, because you can't move around the DVR system. The cameras are stationary, and I'm sure not going to go pick them up and, you know, point around the room just so I can record it. But you know, I picked those things up, and they were okay, but, you know, they're kind of a pain because you're trying to concentrate on the camera and you're not really focusing on, you know, too much of the investigation. So that's why I picked up the full-spectrum glasses, because I wanted the capability to to have something on to move with me when I moved, and to be able to record. Because let's face it, we experience things. We have personal experiences, and that's all they are. I mean, we tell somebody a story because we don't have anything to show for it. So now, hopefully, I have the capability to capture on video, you know, what I'm seeing, and so I'm trying to play with that and see how that works out.
Where'd you end up buying those?
There's a couple of places online. I believe it was Black Cross Paranormal. That's all they sell. They just sell the glasses, and then they also sell a separate IR light system that attaches to the side of the glasses. And the glasses shoot in 720p HD. They can record audio and video, and they can take pictures.
I've seen them before. I just never really mess with them.
What was that?
What was it? Ghost Hunters, I think, episode debuted them, so to speak. What is your honest opinion of them? I'm sure by now you've had a couple of investigations with them. What's your opinion of it?
Well, you know, we did the one investigation with it. It's nice. It's lightweight. It's easy to use. It has a little micro SD card. You can go up to 32 gig. An hour of video is about 2 gigs, so it comes with a 4 gig card. I did see them. I'm on Facebook, and I've got Jason Hawes on my Facebook, and that's how I saw them, because I've been looking for the last 2 years for some kind of system that would be a point-of-view camera that I could just put on easily and be able to record video, and I just haven't been able to find anything that I wanted to spend the money on. And then when I saw him and he said, hey, you know, this is where I got the glasses that you saw on the episode, I went to the website and I was like, hey, these look pretty cool. And so a couple of weekends ago, maybe it was about a month ago, we were in Alameda, California for the Grey Ghost Paracon. And the guy that Jason suggested to go to his website to sell them, he was there with the glasses. So I actually got to, you know, look at them and check them out before I bought them.
Yeah, that's always better than buying them online, waiting for them to show up and be like, really, I bought this piece of crap?
See, that's what I hate. So much stuff that's paranormal, you can't go to a store. There's no, you know, paranormal Walmart that I can go to and just check this stuff out and be able to look at it. I got to buy it first. And, you know, let's face it, some of this crap is really expensive, and you're kind of going out on a limb just to, you know, get a piece of crap show up in the mail.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I was excited to be able to look at them, and then, you know, after I saw them, the guy didn't have any. He sold out, so we weren't able to buy them there, because otherwise I would have bought them on the spot. And so then I found Black Cross on the Internet, and, you know, I would recommend to you and any of your listeners that if you want a good experience, these guys, they're good. And I told them, I said, hey, man, I was really impressed. You got the stuff here quickly. You know, it was shipped perfectly so it wouldn't get damaged, and I was really happy with it.
So in the overall scheme of things, and, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot. It's what I do. what do you spend on the glasses and whatever else goes with them?
So the glasses, the going rate, it seems to me, is $149.95 for the glasses. And then the IR lights, which amounts to, there's two IR lights for each side of the glasses, and then, you know, there's a battery pack that's connected to the cable that you can put in your pocket. That was $49.95, so, you know, roughly $200.
Well, that's not bad. I would hear a four-digit number, and, you know, overall it was $1,249.95, and,
you know, way.
You know, $200, that's not bad. I mean, hell,
no,
I've spent a shitload more for just a recorder.
I've seen other setups for like $300, and basically it was a headband with a camera on it, and they glued an IR light to it, and the thing was like $399, and I was like, no way.
I went to one place I went was Bass Pro Shops, and I got one of the it's a night vision hunter's cam that has a headband on it. It is night vision. It has exterior IR, and it the only downfall of it is it's same thing, 720p. It doesn't have an expandable memory card, so you basically kick it on before you shoot something, so you get that film, but you can't run it for longevity.
Right.
So I didn't know that when I bought it, but it's only like a 16 megabyte memory. It's not even measuring gigs.
That's like 2 minutes of video.
Yeah, exactly. I used it once. I heard it went ding when I turned on, and then I think it was like 22 minutes later it went doom, and it was done. Memory full. Well, this was a waste. But that was only $29 though, so luckily though.
But yeah, that's not bad. Yes.
No, no. If you know you're going to catch something, which nobody does, but if you know you're going to catch something, you can go pick one up for $29. That's going to be a waste of $29 because you never know what the hell you're going to catch.
Sure, if you know when it's going to happen, you can just turn it on and record and then shut it off right away.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. You go in, you catch it, you leave.
And your whole investigation would probably last about an hour because you'd know when everything was going to happen.
Yeah, well, now, I have abilities. I don't know who does or doesn't believe in this. I can remote view, but I can't tell you when shit's going to happen. So if I can only spend $29 on my total equipment package, I'd be a happy son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the amount of equipment I've purchased over the years, and I've kind of got into, I want to like reverse engineer stuff and try to build it myself because I don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, we have a problem, not Dennis and I, but Mark, who I work with here. We have a problem of spending the money and then modifying it however the hell we want. So we buy like three or four at a time, change the stuff and be like, well, this one works, this one doesn't. That's modifications to where you can't just be like, oh, well, we're going to switch A and B wire and B and C and C and D on these three other ones and then keep this one. No, it's like, all right, well, we're changing the casing.
How many SB7s do you have that have been jacked up that you don't trust anymore?
I have five SB7s, and we've only successfully kept two of them because of how they work.
Yeah.
So,
see,
three were garbage.
And I think that's the way that, I mean, I hate to say it, I realize it's good money after bad money, but yeah, that it's just the way it works. Now, how many pieces of equipment has ALPS bought that you just leave in the bag and you go, you know what, screw this. I don't trust it. You know, it's supposed to do this, but you leave it alone.
Well, we pretty much, you know, as a group, we pretty much buy our own equipment. We ask that our investigators have the standard K2 flashlight, camera, and some kind of digital recorder. If you want to go out and buy stuff on your own, you know, it's up to you. I go out and buy my stuff. The DVR system is kind of a group thing, but, you know, Anna owns it. So we kind of own all our own equipment. But, you know, from my personal experience, I went out and bought a full-spectrum camera, and I don't use it that much because it takes really crappy pictures. And I'm like, and it's a pain because I have a monopod that I set it on because you can't move at all or else the picture is, like, totally blurred. And I don't know. I totally turned off from it.
And I think my team is the same exact way. The only difference is I seem to be the only one that actually buys anything. I have my lead that will also buy stuff.
like our DVR system, we split the cost on the like six digital recorders. They're all mine. It's tough trying to get somebody that, you know, will spend the additional money on stuff of their own.
Right, yeah. It's, you know, we have a couple of group members that, you know, have recently gone out and purchased stuff, but, you know, it's, let's face it, I mean, most of the stuff is expensive. It's not like you can just get anything for $5 that you're going to be able to use successfully on an investigation. You got to spend at least, you know, $60 to $80 to get anything.
Except if you go on eBay, they do have the bundle packages to where I've bought a few different things. And I'll buy stupid stuff like motion sensor lights that I know I'm going to tear apart and put an alarm on and change the sensor in them and do all that stuff anyway. But they'll be like $12.95 for a pair, and it'll come with a laser grid pen. It's like,
now,
that's awesome.
Now, the motion sensors, I've used those. And I got to tell you, we've had some, I haven't used them with this group. I use them with my group in Vegas, and we had some really good success with those things. So I would say that's probably a good thing to have in your toolkit.
Yeah, sometimes I'll buy stuff because it comes with something else that I want. And I'm like, oh, I can find a use for this too. Like just a little AM/FM radio, but it comes with a laser grid, or it comes with digital thermometer, which I do want to discuss that for a moment, because I've been seeing a lot of people talking about temperature fluctuations, and there needs to be an education on this for not for you or your team, but just in general. So I do want to touch base on that. But yeah, it'll come with something else. I'm like, I can tear this apart and try and make this work into something else. But
I did find my two Sony Night Shots I got on eBay, and one was $40, and I think I paid $45 for the other one, and the one that was $40 came with like a wide-angle lens, a zoom lens, a quick charger, a case, all this stuff, and I was like, wow, this is awesome.
And were those Hi8 or digital?
They're mini DVD.
Nice.
Okay.
Those are going to be hard to find soon, though.
The only problem is the last 30 minutes.
Exactly. That's the biggest issue with most of them. It only lasts so long. You have either a mini disc in it, or you have a cassette tape in it, and it only lasts so long. Now, I lucked out. Now, I realized that I paid, I'm not going to say it because I'll piss a lot of people off. Mine has a 160-gig hard drive built in that I can actually pull the hard drive, and I can put a 500-gig hard drive in it. But the batteries aren't going to last nearly long enough to carry a 500-gig hard drive. And it has the hot foot on the top of it, which I think is the best benefit to the whole damn thing, because there is a infrared light that was available to plug into that hot foot. And it's small as hell, but it carries an internal hard drive. It has the hot foot on the top that I can put the auxiliary IR light, but it's an old model. So, you know, look for the old model when you buy off of Craigslist or eBay or anything like that, and look for that hot foot on the top. Those are indispensable. I mean, I can light up a 30-foot-long room with the hot foot light attached on the top.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's definitely irreplaceable. it takes the place of a DVR camera in the fact that I've got so much distance on the light in total darkness. I can still see 50 feet.
Well, and then there's sometimes that you don't want to take your whole DVR system. Like, we don't usually take a DVR system on our residential cases because it's just too small and there's no reason to really set it up. So I'll take one of my night shots out and I'll set it up. We did a residential here, and there was a report of a kid in the hallway. And so I set my camera up in the hallway to record the area, you know, that it was in. And you know, we got some pretty good footage. I even got an EVP on it. So, you know, in those cases, it's kind of nice to have, even though it only holds 30 minutes of video, I just go in there and change it, and I can't remember how long my battery lasts, but I've got like a mega battery that will last roughly, you know, an hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it depends on the residential, though, because the one I was at this past Sunday was 16,000 square feet private residence. Oh.
That's not a residence.
And only two people live there.
This thing was a castle, dude. This thing was a castle. I did a remote on this location, and not doing a remote, doing a remote viewing, usually I can walk you through the whole house. This thing I got lost in. I saw myself going upstairs, and then I just kind of went, shit, what the hell? So, yeah.
Yeah, it was not a small place by any means.
Yeah, that sounds pretty wild.
But, I mean, a location like that, having the, you know, DVR system available is wonderful because then you don't have to have investigators, or you don't have to have handhelds through the whole location.
Right.
You know, while they're on one side of the location, you've still got the other side covered under the cameras. The biggest issue that I have with a DVR system is most of them don't have audio attached to them.
Well, see, now ours has an audio capability, but we just haven't gone out. I think it can hold up to 3 microphones, so we just haven't gone out. All we need to do is buy the microphone and just, you know, kind of mount it to the camera, but we just haven't done it yet.
Exactly. And mine doesn't have a correlative audio, so it's you just have video and that's it. There's no correlation between, here's camera 12. We got such and such activity on it, but we have no sound. So you look at the camera and you go, okay, this chair got dragged across. We can see on the video that this chair moved, but there's nothing on audio to support it.
Right.
Like, okay. And, you know, it would be really nice to know what the hell, is there a voice going, move the chair, get it out of my way, why is this in my way, or, you know, anything like that. So you don't know who actually moved the chair.
Right.
So, and a little switch of gears, as far as along with the intuitiveness that you guys operate in, along with the equipment, have you ever been in a situation where you've just intuitively been going nuts, but you just don't catch a damn thing?
I'm trying to think of a case where that may have happened. I've had cases where I just felt, the rest of my team would come up to me and they'd been like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And I just, feel like this, like, feeling of dread or this feeling of sadness or, and in one investigation we did out in Vegas, it was out in a cemetery out in the desert, and there was this one area of the cemetery that I just couldn't go over by. And I was talking to our founder, and I said, I don't know what it is about that place over there. I just can't go over there. And we had some girls on our team that were very psychic and very, you know, they knew what was going on. And he was like, yeah, they had the same thing when they went over there. They couldn't be over there either because it was just too powerful. But we didn't really, you know, we didn't really catch that much that whole night. But it was just, I was wiped. That whole investigation just wiped me out. I was falling asleep on the way home. I just couldn't stay awake.
Yeah, because I've had it where one of Dennis and my good friends, which she's out by me, Tracy Ann, she's been out, and Dennis will vouch. I mean, she knows her shit. It's not like, I mean, she helped Dennis in a lot of ways as he was developing and everything. She's quite good at what she does. But she was walking through the place, and she was getting hit like what Amy Allen gets hit with. But there was never any, like, we got absolutely nothing. And it was, like, four different cases that we were on. We're walking through. She's like, this is what I'm picking up on. This is what's going on. And she's kind of like an in-the-now person. Mm-hmm. And so we'd feed off of that. We'd ask questions that had to do with that. And it's not that she was wrong, because I could call Dennis, and he could remote in, and he'd be getting the same thing. But there would be nothing that would be coming through on any sort of equipment whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be frustrating for somebody with abilities. It's like, I know this is good. Why the hell aren't you talking? Why aren't you showing me any of this stuff?
Yeah, and I've been on cases where, you know, four-hour investigation, absolutely nothing happens. I mean, nothing at all. And my belief is, okay, if there's nothing happening, either there's just nothing here, or we're going to get home and we're going to review our audio and it's going to be crazy. And sure enough, we went home and that place was a freaking zoo. I mean, it was like people coming out of the woodwork. I couldn't even believe it.
See, that's what I prefer, not having abilities.
One thing that I do have to say, having abilities and being able to remote view a location. I can communicate with a lot of spirits when I do a remote view. But, well, Matt, the one that you just did over the weekend, where I said that the tall, thin man just kept disappearing around the corner, he wanted nothing to do with me. I mean, he saw me, but do you have anything on recording or video or anything that evidenced him to be there other than the past experiences that the residents has had?
No, I had the H4N running. I had the Sony running, an Olympus and an RCA, and where you said that corner was, I had two stagnants and then too mobile, because that's one thing, and for everybody listening, that's one thing I'm a firm believer in, is using different brands,
mm-hmm.
and using multiples, because they record on different frequencies, so
right.
It'll be XYZ hertz for this one and XYZ hertz for that one. Well, since we don't know what the hell the range is, and the H4N just picks up everything. I mean, you know, I can't even tell you how many mouse and mosquito farts I've gotten on the H4N because of how sensitive it is. But, yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, using different brands, I mean, you go through it. We audibly heard stuff that I didn't end up hearing on any of the recordings, and it was brief. It was just a brief little things, but we all heard it. There was four of us. It was me and the guy that I co-founded CPR with, Mark, and then the homeowner, and then the woman that I was talking to about going in there, because she's friends with the homeowner. So we went in there to help her out, because she was getting to the point to where she didn't want to have her granddaughter at the house, because her granddaughter kept saying, ookie, ookie, that there was something that was spooky around. She was 2 years old. or just turned mm-hmm. 2. So she was nervous, so which made the homeowner nervous, which made the friend nervous, and so we went in there to see what the hell we can get. Well, off the kitchen, there's a stairwell that goes upstairs. Mind you, this house was built in 1909. It was built by the architect who was basically the guy who rebuilt Chicago after the Great Chicago Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very interesting architecture all throughout the house. The basement ceilings are all brick, which couldn't have been easy to do. But they're not brick in a traditional you look at the ceiling and it's flat. They're brick archways. It's just repetitive arches all throughout the building that supports all the lower floors.
Mm-hmm.
So it was I was kind of dumbfounded by how amazing the architecture was in the house, and I caught myself a lot of times being, oh wow, look at that. Oh yeah, we're investigating, we're not on a tour. So, well, no, there was some cool stuff, and yeah, I mean, but nothing ended up coming through on audio, and when I was trying to describe, and I think I can pull it up, it's not an audio clip, but if it's a reference too, but I think the one reference that I made of what we were hearing was, hold on, where's my searches? Hey, Dennis, I got to find this. Oh, here it is.
Is this an audio clip?
Oh, no, this is what I heard. It sounded like Gym Class Heroes.
Really?
Ba-da-da-da. Like, that's what we were hearing in the background. It was quick, but it sounded like there was a spirit saying the intro to Gym Class Heroes, Cupid's Chokehold.
No, that's not an EVP, is it really?
No, that was YouTube. But I went
smartass.
I brought the dude. If that was an EVP,
I was gonna say, that was pretty awesome.
I'd be collecting the $1 million right now. But no, I went back. The reason I brought that up is because that's what we were hearing. So I went back in the area that I thought that where it was coming from, it seemed like where it was geographically in the house. And I brought that up on YouTube and I played that. And I walked back in the room and everybody's like, oh my God, that's what I heard. I'm like, well, apparently whoever's in here spirit wise is a fan of Gym Class Heroes. Because they were singing the damn song, but nothing ever showed up on audio, which sucked. Because that would be really, really cool. I would have blasted that all over Facebook, being like, "Oh my God, we were in the Gym Class Heroes haunted place."
Well, now here, I actually do have access to the board. Here is an actual EVP that I captured.
Mine's better.
And this is not bullshit. This is straight up. You're going to hear me make a statement. I'm talking to one of my investigators and his, 13-year-old, I think it was like his cousin's stepson or something. But you'll hear me make a statement that I make the statement, whoever gets something, that's where we congregate. And then you're going to hear a response to it. And the response that comes back is no bullshit. It is off the range of our speaking level, I guess. If you look at, the spectrum chart where we're talking, this thing is way off of ours.
Uh-huh.
So
the first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
Listen for getting...
First one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
Sounds like he's saying goodness.
Yeah, it's either getting this or goodness or... I think when I actually slow it down, I get two syllables off the first word, like getting this. But I only slowed it down. Like this one that you're hearing actually now off the board is straight up, straight from my recorder, straight upload. I just clipped it. But it sounds like he's saying, getting this.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you go to my SoundCloud, which is, I don't know what, soundcloud.com/CPRDennis, you can hear get or getting this or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your opinion on the best way? Like, I'm sure you've got some phenomenal EVPs that you upload so people can hear them. Where do you prefer to upload them? Where you think they get molested the least?
Well, a lot of the stuff that we do is we post mainly a lot of video, like when we'll get EVPs on video. We don't do right now a lot of EVP per se, just, you know, like the audio file. I'd like to get into more of that, you know, but sometimes it's hard, I think, for people to hear what you're listening to, not necessarily what we just heard from you. I think, you know, that's pretty clear, but sometimes it's kind of hard because you hear one thing and they hear something else. So we have posted on YouTube. That's a good place to go. Even sometimes I've done audio files on YouTube, and I'll just put pictures behind it just so you have something to look at while you're listening. And, you know, it's come through pretty well. I did one before I even started in any group. I did the St. Augustine Lighthouse, and I got some pretty phenomenal EVP, two guys in speaking in Spanish, two Spaniards, and they can actually see me, and they're commenting on me. And so I just put a little video on YouTube and, you know, just put it out there. But so I think, you know, in the future maybe we'll look into, you know, maybe posting something on a website or something like that.
Well, the nice thing about SoundCloud is that everybody can access it and then comment. And pretty much all the audio that I have ever uploaded, I never give anybody any sort of direction. It's like everything audio-wise, I'll be like, what do you think? And the responses on a lot of it are amazing as far as the diversity of the responses. But and it's simple. I mean, you can even upload it from your phone. It's real simple format to use.
Right.
And it does seem like there's not a lot that's lost in compilation or translation. It seems to be a pretty decent format to use for strictly audio.
Well, and I don't think, you know, I don't think it's necessarily, most times in my experience, I've gone out on the internet and looked up, you know, and checked out a lot of EVPs. It's not necessarily the site, it's the person that's actually doing them. They butcher them so much and try to add so many different, you know, tools to it to try to enhance it, and it comes out to that computerish sounding gobbledygook that, you know, you hear it and you're like, that wasn't anything. I don't even know what that was, you know?
Yeah.
Well, one thing that Matt, I know you're going to back me up on this. I tried on a couple of different EVPs to email them to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what the issue was, in sending out an EVP, it gets compressed and it's sent. Then it gets uncompressed and it's received.
mm-hmm. and it goes through pretty much the airwaves. So I hear an EVP on my end when I listen to it raw. I compress it to make it a file. Then I compress it again to email that file. And then his system uncompresses it. So you have it at minimum 3 manipulations on that file. One of the really cool things...
I don't ever hear shit.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I've sent him some fucking plain, clear EVPs through email, but he doesn't hear shit, and he goes, well, I don't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Well, F my life. Why don't you hear anything? Then I upload that same exact file to SoundCloud. Now, I have to give SoundCloud major kudos. It does manipulate the file a little bit because you're compressing and uploading, but apparently it doesn't do it as much. So, you know, like, the file that you just heard, I actually pulled down from SoundCloud. I didn't upload from my phone. I pulled it from SoundCloud. So do me a favor. Go to SoundCloud.com, search CPR Dennis, and listen to that one was Git. The other one is, I think, Keep Light, because the, like I said, it was myself, my lead investigator, and his 13-year-old, like, some relation.
Mm-hmm.
They kept asking if he can keep his flashlight. And he pissed me off because, well, I'm sure you've done enough investigations where you've heard the click, 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 click of the flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
He kept asking if he could keep the flashlight. And no. He's like, so I can't keep the flashlight? No. And then you hear this voice comes back and says, yes.
Hmm.
Which was really cool because when I put it up on the spectrograph, it's way off of the charts from where we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I definitely, I mean, I've got to give kudos to SoundCloud on what they can do for our EVPs and, you know, not molesting them, but so much.
Now
it's really cool.
I was going to say, what audio program are you using? Because I know we have some issues. We all have programs that we like to use because I have one and, you know, everybody else has one they like to use. And what we do is we review our evidence from our investigation and we all use Dropbox. And we'll take our files and we'll throw them into Dropbox, and we'll that way we can all listen to them without having to, you know, post them on Facebook or something and go through all that garbage.
Right.
And I know that we have issues because if people are using two different programs, the audio doesn't turn out the same. And I know I can send something to Anna and she'll listen to it and she'll be like, I can't even hear it. Same thing that you go through.
Right. Yeah. And my previous team used Dropbox also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can hear a blatant response to a question, and I'll throw it to the Dropbox. And I've even been sitting at their desk, you know, where they pull it and listen to it. And there's nothing, and I'm like, no, I know I heard this.
Mm-hmm.
How does SoundCloud relate to Dropbox? I would have to say that SoundCloud, for whatever reason, however they manipulate the data or whatever, it doesn't seem to change. So I know what you're asking. If I were to do it through Dropbox or SoundCloud, I would have to say the manipulation on the data itself, what's heard on one end versus the other, between the two. I would have to say that there's minimal on SoundCloud versus Dropbox.
What program are you actually using to listen to your audio? Like, I use WavePad because I like it. It's easy to use, and it just works for me. But, you know, I know there's other ones out there that people use.
And which program?
WavePad.
Okay. Yeah, see, I just do mine through, now it just escaped me.
Audacity.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm cheap and I'm broke. All the equipment that I bought, I'm broke. So I use Audacity.
Right.
The two programs that I use, I'll use Audacity or Adobe Audition. Adobe Audition seems to translate if I'm sending something to a Mac versus a PC. Adobe Audition seems to be able to transition that barrier that, you know, the I people and the PC people don't want to mesh.
Right.
But yeah, Adobe Audition, which Adobe is compatible on I products and it's compatible on Android and PC products as well. So.
Uh-huh.
And the difference is I can't afford that $400 program.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'd love to have it, but it's just way too expensive. We kind of go with the free stuff.
That's why you find a friend who has it, and you download it off of their software. That's what I did. Yeah. I didn't pay for it.
I can afford to look at the advertisements for Audition, but that's about the most I can afford. I can afford to look at the advertisements. And it looks really phenomenal. But I can't buy it.
It really is. And I was fortunate enough that Mark, being a musician, has...
Blah, blah, blah. He's still talking, isn't he? Asshole.
So Scott, let me touch on one thing since we're talking about different programs and different equipment and all that kind of shit. All right, what I was talking about with the digital thermometers.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy the little ones on eBay or whatever that come the little thumb size one, it's crap. Don't use it. Secondly, if you buy the one that has the laser. I can't stress this enough. It is registering with a 78% accuracy of what the laser is touching, not anything in between there.
Right.
It's not, it's 78%. It's just over 3/4 accurate. So if you get a 1 to 2 temperature fluctuation, you don't have shit. You have the equipment acting in its best way that it possibly can, which doesn't mean that 1 to 2 degrees, you have to freak out and say, holy crap, there's a ghost there.
Yeah.
Well, the other trouble with those is it depends on its distance. Anything above about 5 feet, it is inaccurate. Those were designed for HVAC technicians, heating, ventilation, air conditioning technicians.
Mm-hmm.
They're designed to find leaks in a duct system. You know, if you're crawling around in a basement or a crawl space or up in an attic, and all of a sudden you have a temperature change, they're aiming that typically within 5 feet at a vent break, like a connection in the vent system, they're not designed to give you a specific temperature at 30 feet. As far as the, you know, paranormal field therapy shit, don't waste your money. Don't go spend the 30, 40 bucks on it.
Right.
They're good to give you maybe 5 feet away. But, now, and of course, now we ask, what is your opinion on that same piece of equipment?
I don't have one. I don't use one. As far as I'm concerned, I use a Melmeter, and to me, I love it. I think it's a great piece of equipment, and it's got my basic K2, you know, it's not really a K2 because it's different, but it's got, you know, my EMF detector and my, you know, temperature gauge right there, and it's going to tell me the temperature in my area, which is, you know, what I'm concerned about. So I like it. I don't use the laser, you know, thermometer myself.
Okay.
And which Mel do you have? Do you have just the regular 8704, the 8704R, the 8704? Like, there's like 12 now.
Yeah, no, I wish I would have gone out and bought the, you know, high-end Melmeter, but I've just got the basic Melmeter that's got, you know, temperature and EMF on it. I can't remember if mine has the vibration detection or not.
Oh,
well,
the...
If it has vibration detection, then it'll have a little white nipple on the backside. That's the one that I carry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with it. I've played with it as best I can to just test the therm probe on the front, and it seems to be right on target.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely give him kudos.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the better... It was one of the better pieces of equipment, I think, that came out in a while, and I know from, you know, experience using K2s and using the Melmeter, I use the Melmeter because it filters out a lot of the garbage that you get with a K2. You know, you could, to me, it filters out like a lot of like electronics and stuff. It just won't even sometimes detect it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're also narrowing down the window of trash. And, well, if you're a true investigator, your whole job is to narrow down the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Melmeter helps do that.
Right.
Now I'm going to ask you, how long have you actually been doing paranormal investigations?
I myself for 7 years.
Okay. What got you into it? Now, I'm going to go into a battery of the most common asked questions, but these are things that I want to know from across the globe, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So what got you into the paranormal?
Well,
first off, you can answer this or not, or you can give, like, you know, vague answer. How old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay. Okay.
That was pretty direct.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
I don't
not,
think
you
we
know,
went
I'm
in the vague window on that.
I'm
I
not
think
afraid.
We got that one.
I'm not afraid to tell my age.
Right. So you've actively been investigating the paranormal for 7 years.
Yes.
So, at 35 years old, what started you into the paranormal, and why did you decide that you, at that time, or were there things before that, but what got you into it, and why did you start investigating?
Well, I tell you, before I started, I was never interested in, you know, anything to do with ghosts or you know, UFOs or the paranormal at all, and I didn't really care about any of that. And but I had some experiences growing up that I couldn't quite explain. My mother passed away when I was 17, and one night I went to bed, and I usually kept my door shut, and I woke up in the morning, and I had a shelf above my bed, and I had all my trophies from playing football on it. And when I woke up in the morning, one of my trophies was taken down, and it was placed next to my bed. And I had asked my dad, I said, you know, were you in my room last night? And he was like, no. And I told him what happened, and, you know, that kind of baffled me. And then there were some other experiences that I had in the house that just kind of I thought about over the years, and I was like, I don't know what it is, but it's just weird. And then it just so happened, I was in the military. I just had surgery on my knee, and I was home, and I was flipping through the channels, and I think Ghost Hunters or something came on, and so I was just watching it, and I kind of got interested in it, and I was like, wow. And it's like something just went off in my mind, and I was like, I want to find out if this is real. And I'm like, I don't know why I want to find out if this is real, but I want to find out. So I was in Tampa, Florida at the time, and I took a voice recorder, and I went out to a cemetery, and I just walked around. And I remember to this day, I was standing there, and I turned, and I saw this gravestone, and I just got this feeling come over me, and I was like, there was something there. And so I walked over, and I started doing a EVP session. And I went home, and sure enough, I, you know, asked a question. I said, is anybody here with me? And you can clearly hear a woman say, Bernie. And I was like, holy crap, this is real. This isn't just, you know, people on TV making stuff up. And so that was hooked after that. I was just like, you know, every investigation, I just wanted more and more and more, and I wanted to learn more. And I also started to realize that growing up, I always had a radio on when I slept. When I was a kid, I slept with covers over my head. And I think it's because this stuff has been around me, you know, for a long time, and I'm just now realizing actually what it was.
So, and I have a question about the trophy thing.
Mm-hmm.
How long after your mom passed did that happen?
Oh, geez, this was probably like no more than maybe a couple of weeks after she passed.
And did you kind of get feelings of her, Dennis, you know where I'm going with this, kind of get feelings of her, or anything like visions or dreams or anything about her in that time frame, or stuff that made you went like, wow, Mom, are you still here?
Yeah, I would have dreams, and actually when I was older, once I joined the military and I had a family and stuff, I would come back home to visit, and I would stay in my room, and I swear, I can't tell for sure, but at night I would wake up in the middle of the night because I would hear something, and I don't know if this was a dream or if this was real, but I woke up one night, and I heard something in the room, and I kind of sat up, and I felt like this rush of energy just go right through my body. And I was just like, what the hell? But, yeah, I would have dreams about her. Whenever I'd come upstairs, I'd just get the chills, like there was something there. And so to this day, I don't know if she's still there, and I kind of wonder. That's one place I'd love to go back and investigate to see if she's still there.
That's kind of, between Dennis and I and everybody that we know, that's kind of cardinal rule number one is you don't want to investigate your family.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I wouldn't go per se, but I would have one of my, you know, the group that I'm with go in there and investigate and find out if she's still in there. I wouldn't, you know, just like I don't investigate my own home, I wouldn't go on an investigation that was I was that closely, you know, personally tied to.
Yeah. Well, no, the reason I ask is because I have a theory that's a 7 to 10 day theory, and this is for people who it makes more sense to people who aren't in the paranormal, that who have experiences in the paranormal, like if they have a loved one pass away, it doesn't matter if it's a mom, a dad, a grandma, an aunt, an uncle, just somebody that was very close to them within the family, but they have no ties to the paranormal, they don't investigate it, they don't do anything with it whatsoever.
Well, I think we've narrowed it down to anybody that you gave a shit about, because I mean, we've had responses from people that talked about like their third or fourth cousin. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the mom, dad, grandma, you know, cousin. So, Matt, I think we've got this thing stretched out to familial ties, period, even when they weren't close.
Yeah. No, I know that.
Like, go ahead.
I use the direct as an example, you know what I mean? So, because I could sit there and talk about, it was a best friend or a best friend's cousin who you were close with, and yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on. But, so, within 7 to 10 days of somebody that meant a lot to a person that passes, well, the person that passed meant a lot to that person, if you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Within 7 to 10 days, there's usually, or not usually, but a lot of times an experience that person has that has nothing to do with the paranormal whatsoever. And it could be emotionally driven. It honestly could. It could be a dream. They could wake up in twilight. They could wake up on almost like you wake up and you think a dream is real.
I have sleep paralysis, so yeah, I'm well aware of that.
I was gonna say sleep paralysis, but you know, there's a lot of people who'd be like, "What?" And no, I don't want to Google that shit. So that's why I use wake up and think that a dream is real.
Right. Right.
No.
But
no.
I'm not done, dude. Quiet. Still talking here. So within 7 to 10 days, there's usually something that happens that is monumental, and it's a life-changing thing to where that person is going to remember it for a long time. Whether it be if it is actually the spirit of their loved one coming to them, and they're not going to think, I got to grab my phone and document this. No, that's got nothing to do with it. It's just, holy shit, my grandma, my mom, my grandpa, my dad, my, you know, whoever was here. Shut up, Dennis. But, so, it comes into one of those things, and it usually happens within a 7 to 10 day period of that person passing.
Right.
It's kind of like the final goodbye of that energy to that person.
Let's go to the point. What do you think about the 7 to 10 day grace period of a loved one passing? Do you think that within 7 to 10 days our loved ones can communicate to us?
Do I think that they can communicate with us?
No, I'm asking Matt.
Oh, really? Sorry.
Who's the guest here? Damn, I didn't mean to wake you up, brother. Oh, I know. Matt was talking. That's why you went to sleep. Never mind. But, yeah, I mean, Matt's theory is, well, actually, we have worked on this theory. 7 to 10 days that a loved one that passes on can communicate to us.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that occur or know somebody that has, and what is your opinion on that theory?
I mean that's quite possible, but I've also heard of loved ones communicating with people, you know, far beyond that time period. In my case, you know, like I said, I had other experiences in the house. I can remember I was in high school. My dad went away on a business trip, and I had my girlfriend over. And, you know, that was not a thing I was supposed to be doing. So, you know, we were sitting there watching TV, and I started to hear thunder in the house, or what sounded like thunder. And my girlfriend heard the same thing. And I was freaking out. I went outside, and there was, like, no clouds in the sky at nighttime, no clouds in the sky or anything. And we kept hearing this rumbling coming from what appeared to be, like, the ceiling of the house from the upstairs. And to this day, I can't explain what that is. But, I mean, it's quite possible. It's quite possible you have so many emotions built up over losing a loved one that, yeah, I mean, that 7 to 10 days could be a period, you know, where that happens. But, I mean, I think, I believe firmly that your loved ones come back because they want to see you. They want to, they want you to know that they're there, or they might want to help you through, you know, a hard time you're going through or whatever.
Well, in your case, in that situation, that was a mom cock block. So if it was you and your girlfriend sitting on the couch and it was like, oh, yeah, and make out session, no, I'm going to rattle this damn thing until they stop.
Well, that's what I took it as. I'm doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing, and I was being told that I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing.
Oh, and that was so nice and politely put. In your case, that was a mom cock block. Yay, way to go, Matt.
No, you know, for what it was, it doesn't have to be romantic. It was, hey, mom saying, you are not going to touch that girl in my house. I am sorry. No,
exactly.
That shit will not happen. That was a mom cock block.
Yes, and now can we put it more politely? Mom knew it wasn't love and it didn't belong in her house.
Yeah.
So much nicer than, that was a mom cock block.
Wow.
Oh, wait, that.
Well, wait. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Full Spectrum Radio, where we don't know what the hell's going to come out of our mouths. We would prefer to just be as dumbfounded as you are when you hear it, and, you know, that's kind of how it works.
And that's not your wife, correct? Because then I would then I would feel bad.
No, not at all.
All right.
No, trust me.
I don't know. The high school sweetheart got married. You know, and it was great, and mom and her got along. You know, when she was around, and my wife, and that would have made me feel bad. So
no, it wasn't anything like that. So don't feel bad.
Yeah, and Matt, you've met my wife. You know, she's not shocked by anything that comes out of my mouth.
No. Or mine, actually.
Yeah. Now,
I've had hope coming.
She is shocked, however, when I bite my tongue and I speak politely. That actually does shock her. But, yeah.
Yeah, you.
If I bite my tongue and I speak, you know, politically correct, then she is shocked. But otherwise, yeah, no, I couldn't shock her with anything less than a cattle prod.
Hey, Scott, well, so what is, I know everybody's, oh, what's the freakiest situation you've ever been in, blah, blah, blah. No, well, no, what's the funniest shit you've ever had happen to you on an investigation?
There's a lot. I mean, you go through hours and hours of audio, and especially, like, our team and stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, we could probably put together some kind of comedy video from, you know, all the stupid crap that people say and just the funny things that people say. And, you know, we had an investigation, and it was pretty good. I made a video out of it because, you know, I just thought it was really funny. We had DVR set up, and one of our investigators didn't realize that somebody was sitting back by the DVR and or by the camera, and so he started, you know, you can see him walking towards the DVR or towards the camera, and all of a sudden he realizes that there's a person back there, and it just scares the crap out of him. And it was so great that I actually, since there was no audio back there on the camera, I had my digital recorder with me, and I was able to sync them both up, and so I put a video together, and I posted it on the internet because I just thought it was so funny seeing his reaction from, you know, not knowing that there was a person back there.
Hey, Dennis, you still there?
Yeah, but I'm peeing. Hang on.
Could have sent me a warning. You know, this is one thing I don't know if I can do for my phone, but hold on, we'll see. But anyway, so
I mean, if
so
you really want to hear it, there we go. But yeah, I had to pee. Hang on.
No, I really didn't want to hear it. Thank you, though. I appreciate the offer. So there was actually somebody in front of the camera.
Yeah, they were back there by the camera, and you know, of course, it was dark and you couldn't see at all. We were in a room in the National Hotel here in Nevada City, and it was, you know, kind of a small room, not a lot of light or anything. So it was really dark in there, and the guy had gotten up and repositioned, and the investigator didn't realize that he had moved, and so he heard something in the back corner, back by the camera. And he figured he was going to get up and go investigate. So he got up, and, you know, you can see his face, you know, kind of looking into the darkness. And then all of a sudden he sees this face there, and he just flies backwards. And he's like, you can hear him on the audio, and he's like, oh, shit, you know. So those are always great. I mean, I've done the same thing. I've been on, you know, like a residential, and I don't realize one of my investigators is in a bedroom. And I start to walk in, and you know that feeling you get when you know a person is near you? And I, you know, start walking in, and I'm like, oh, my God, something is near me. And then all of a sudden somebody pops out of nowhere, and you're just like, ah!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it actually happened to me this past weekend.
I'm done.
Hey, Dennis, we have our dear friend Bruce Tangle listening, and he wants to listen to the audio clip. What's the name of it?
No, Bruce is not listening in. Is
he
really?
Texted me. No, he sent me a text and said, yes, I'm listening to the show tonight. We need to, you need to play the audio clip, my favorite. What's the name of it?
Hang on, I'm looking.
Oh, you have the board up?
Yeah. I told you. Wait. Now, Scott, did you hear me about an hour ago when I said that I have the board up?
I heard you had audio up, meaning I thought you had SoundCloud up. I didn't know you had the board up.
No, I actually, you know, well, I took over.
All right, well, that's not important. That's not important. but yes, no, I
Matt, shut up.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets, fucking, you know, it puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets, fucking, you know,
and the funniest thing is that, fuck it.
Yeah. you can play the other one, too. The other one you
it
like.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets, fucking, you know,
that's the same one. Come on, there's another one.
And this is what 3:30 in the morning gets you. Now, this one was at 8:20 in the evening. This was on our way to the event. This will give you an idea. Oh, fuck. How did it scroll? Oh, wait, there it goes.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is Bruce Tangle.
The laughter
favorite.
At the end. The laughter at the end was me falling off the fucking bed. Because I just couldn't take anymore. The whole premise on that was, for whatever reason, we had watched a portion of Joe Dirt as we were getting ready to go to the show.
Oh.
And I'm like, all right, Matt, we, you know what? Dude, we really need to make some, like, sound clips just for our show. And he's like, oh, I got this covered, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we get this.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
And then at 3:30 in the morning, we think it's a good idea to continue. And then the other one.
We had to make them better. It wasn't a matter of we had to continue. It was a matter of we had to make them better. Because they sounded bad.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets fucking...
And needless to say, that would be us after a shitload of partying.
And that was actually the night after. Well, Bruce wasn't there, but that was the night that we were drinking, or Dennis was out doing something else. Dennis was reviving some chick in the courtyard who fell over. But I was sitting with Dave Tango, Steve Gonzalez, and Grant Wilson. And it was, here's a shot. All right, no, I'm good. No, you're doing a shot with us. All right, here's a shot. No, seriously, guys, I'm good. No, you're doing a shot. Okay, blah, blah. There, I did a shot with you. All right, I got to go find Dennis. No, we're buying you a drink. What are you drinking? This went on for 2 hours.
Bruce, if you're listening, your son got my partner fucked up. That's where this EVP came up from. So you can thank your son, Dave, for...
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets fucking...
So, Bruce, if that is your favorite guest, there's a reason why. It's because your son got my partner all kinds of fucked up. I never laughed so damn hard in my life, brother. I tell you, I go back inside. I'm out in the smoking patio, hanging out with everybody. I'm hanging with the whole crew from Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, which, oh my God, Michelle and the whole crew are so cool. Robert, Michelle, you guys are awesome. I love you to death. At an earlier point, I had been hanging out with Nick and Tim and all of them from Pennhurst. And, oh, my God, I'm just having a blast. Then this woman comes out and just, like, does a full, like, dive backwards, just a flat backwards fall thud. And you hear the, and that's her head off the concrete, and I'm like, oh, shit. Well, I'm a CMT. I rode ambulance for many a year. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I turned to, and I got to throw kudos at him. Big black boy. What the hell is his name? Let's see. I don't know.
Jiggy.
He's 6'4". He's big guy. Oh, yeah. Jiggy. Funny son of a bitch. But I didn't need help, Matt, by the way. But Jiggy is standing to my right, and I'm like, hold this. And I just, like, slam my drink into his hand, and I go off to go do my EMT thing and make sure this woman ain't dead. Which, the way her head bounced, I'm thinking she's dead. Oh, God. There's going to be, like, you know, long-term paralysis if she even survives. Well, I go over and I tend to her. Meanwhile, Matt texts me and then calls me and he's like, dude, I'm so... flopped up. You're flopped up. I'm not even sure that's a word. It's like, Dave and them got me flopped up. And then I get fucked up. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, dude, I don't have time right now. I'm trying to do, you know, my medic thing. I get this woman mostly taken care of. The bar manager runs over and goes, what the hell is going on? And I went, well, give me a chair. Give me a chair right now. I need to, like, they've already, like, manipulated her neck. Like, one of the bounce staff tried to get her up off the floor, like, moments after she went down. And I went, I need a chair right now so I can stabilize her. Well, he turns and looks about 5 feet away and snatches a chair out from and under this girl and goes, I need this, and, like, yanked it out from and under her ass. I get her in the chair, and I'm like, you, just, you know, cervical pressure, hold her head, blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at the call from Matt, and I'm looking at the text, and I'm like, dude, just fucking stabilize yourself. I'll be there in a moment. He's like, no, man, you need to come help me because I don't know where I'm at. What the fuck? Dude, I'll be there when I get there. Oh, my God, it was just chaos. Well, I turn back to Jiggy, and I'm like, you know, after everything is done, and, you know, they've got this woman in a actual wheelchair, and I turn back to him, and I'm like, dude, that was crazy. Can I have my drink? He's like, yes, Amasa. You want me to turn around, and you can fuck me up the ass if you want to, Master, but I appreciate you letting me hold your drink, Master. I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, well, I figure you just turned and threw your drink at me and ordered me like some kind of little bitch that I was going to hold your drink. I was just your bitch at that point. I'm like, Jiggy, you ain't right. Oh, my God, dude. And he's busting ass laughing, going, yeah, but if you want, Master, I'll bend over. I smile at you as you do it. I'm like, oh, God damn. No, never again. Oh, please, no. Let them die on the floor before I do that. I mean, geez, you stay right. And, Chicky, if you hear about this, you're still an asshole. But I love you anyway, brother.
I wasn't right that night. That's really all it comes down to. But, hey, we got 14 minutes left of live. Just throw out any plugs for you guys that you want, any YouTube channels, any websites, anything like that.
Yeah, you can go to Facebook, look up Angels of the Light Paranormal Society. That's where our public page is. That's where we put all our, you know, when we're on investigations, we'll send out pictures and, you know, we'll keep people up to date on what we're doing. And so our, you know, people that follow us can go there. Same with YouTube for Angels of Light Paranormal Society on YouTube. And we put all our videos there. And then we're on, I think it's Blogger. We do a lot of blogging through Google. I think that's what it's called, Blogger. Same thing, Angels of Light Paranormal Society. And we've got a range of, we'll talk about investigations. We do a lot about education in the community. Anna's really big on that. She posts a lot of stuff about analyzing pictures and, you know, how different equipment is great and some is not so great and, you know, trying to get people to be aware of all the, like the ghost apps that are out there, all these pictures that people send out, you know, we get them all the time. Hey, you know, my sister took this picture in her house. You know, what do you think it is? And we're like, it's a ghost app, man. Don't send us this stuff. So, you know, we try to get out there and we do a lot of education and we like to do a lot of para-unity and, you know, stuff like that. So those are our main sites that we use to try to get out to the public on what we're doing, because let's face it, you know, publicity isn't about us as more as getting the word out about what we do so we can help people, because you know, that's our number one goal, is to, you know, help people that are having things going on in their house and be able to go out there, investigate, and try to give them some answers to, you know, what is going on in their house. So we try to get out there as much as we can and let people know what we're doing, so they see that, you know, we're actually out doing stuff. And I think that's a really big thing to let everybody know.
All right, so if John or Jane Doe send you a EVP and they go, can you validate this as something that is other than human? Do you have the software to do that?
We don't usually do that. The only reason why people send us pictures is because they see our Facebook page, and they'll, you know, or they'll send us an email or something, and they'll be like, hey, can you take a look at this picture? But we don't encourage it, and we usually just turn it down and be like, hey, because I don't know where you were at the time. I don't know what the conditions were when the EVP was captured. I can't tell any of that stuff, so I can't give you or anybody else an educated guess on, you know, what's going on. I don't know if you manipulated it. Just so we don't even mess with it.
So when you say I don't know what the conditions were at that time, what all are you looking for as far as the conditions?
Well, who's in the room with you? You know, where were you located? You know, what are some of the background noises? Because, you know, when we're on an investigation, we're constantly talking. You know, at the beginning of the EVP session, hey, Scott, Faye, and Anna, down in the basement, you know, we describe the background noise. We're always talking, you know, hey, there's somebody upstairs walking around. Their car just passed by. So there's no possible way we could go back and listen to the audio and not know everything that was going around. So if we're not there, we don't know the situation, and it's just too hard to be able to tell if that was something just natural or something actually paranormal.
Yeah. Well, I definitely like the way that you think. I love the way that, you know, you deal with things. You know, with only 7 years, which, I mean, I hate to make light of 7 years, but when you really break it down, 7 years dealing with the paranormal, there are so many opportunities in 7 years that you can bring home an attachment. There are so many opportunities that you can, you know, meet up with the negatives. How does your team deal with that?
Well, one of the things we ask our members is that, and it's very important, Anna and I spoke about this when we first, you know, got together and decided that, you know, this is a route we're going to take with the team. And we decided that we ask our team members to be spiritual. And we don't care what you believe in, just believe in a higher power, because we firmly believe that there is power in that, in your spirituality, whatever that may be. So we don't ask you to be a certain denomination. You know, we have Christians in our group, we have Catholics, we have Wiccans, we have, you know, people that make atheists, you know, whatever, but they still believe in something else that gives them strength. So we try to do a prayer before we go into an investigation. We do sage at the end of the investigation. We say another closing prayer to try to protect ourselves. Jennifer on our team can do cleansings, and she's very knowledgeable in that kind of stuff, so we're very fortunate to have that on our team. But we do the best that we can to try to make sure. But, you know, if your team's got your back, then it's not saying that nothing's going to come home with you, but we have each other's back. So we're going to take care of business, whether, you know, whatever happens.
So you do a prayer entering the building. Give us a rough idea of what the prayer entering the location is like.
Well, we usually go outside, and depending on what we're doing, if we're just doing a quick St. Michael's prayer or, you know, something like that, we've had situations where, you know, Jennifer will go through kind of a grounding prayer to try to get us to focus on something that gives us strength and to use that during the investigation if things are getting too difficult so that we have that spirituality with us when we go in there and we're ready and prepared for whatever we might encounter. Because let's face it, I haven't really experienced anything crazy, but you just never know what you're going to walk into, and you can't. I've known people that said, well, I'll do investigations, but I'm not doing demonic. Like, how are you going to know? I mean, they're rare, but you don't know what you're walking into, so you can't say until you actually, you know, experience it. If you want to leave, that's fine, but we don't know going into it. But, so yeah, we'll go outside and get grounded and get ready and prepare ourselves to go in to do the investigation.
Okay. And then you say that you do a prayer on the way out. Give us an idea what the prayer on the way out is.
Well, we'll and usually ask.
The reason I ask, there's so many of our listeners that have no flipping clue.
Well, we usually ask for strength and for protection, and we usually, you know, ask that anything that's possibly with us, you know, doesn't follow us home, and we strongly, you know, say, look, you can't follow us home. And we usually do a saging, you know, we have the sage with us, and each person will be saged before they go home. And then my personal thing is, before I even walk in the house, I will, in the car, say, look, if anybody's with me, you need to leave now. You're not welcome. You're not coming in my house, and you need to leave. I mean, whether that helps, it helps me, but...
Yeah, well... And that's the reason that I ask. When I do an investigation, I go in with, you're not allowed to hurt me. You're not allowed to harm me. You can interact with me, but you are not allowed to hurt me. And then I'll do the investigation. I'll go, you know, 2, 3, 4, 10 hours, whatever the investigation time is. But as I exit the location, once I break that threshold of the door, I turn and look over my shoulder, and I always say, you are not allowed to leave with me. This is your home. You must stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot leave with me. You have to stay here.
Right.
And then I turn my back on them and walk away. So
mm-hmm.
I definitely understand that. Of course, then once I hit the parking lot or, you know, I hit the, you know, next to my truck, I do another prayer that says that, you know, this is my domain and you're not allowed to enter into my domain.
Right.
But I like the way that you do things. Whether it actually works or not, I mean, who's to know? I mean, you go into a location and ask them to interact with you.
Right.
Then you ask them to leave you alone.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Who's to say whether or not either one works? When you go into a location and you ask them to interact with you, you may or may not get anything. And that's on their choice.
Right.
But also when you ask them to leave you alone, who's to say they may or may not leave you alone? But I do like the way that you think. So you definitely have a religion-based group.
Well, I wouldn't say religion-based. Like I said, more of a spirituality. So we are open to anybody that wants to join, like I said, as long as you believe in a higher power so that it'll help you when you go into investigation. Not that you're just going in there with no kind of grounding at all and you're not prepared for anything or to handle anything.
Well, and that's why I say that it's a religion based group. I didn't
mm-hmm.
say a Christian-based group or a Catholic-based group or, you know, a pagan-based group. You're religion-based. You understand that at any given time, you're going to face
whatever. So we have less than 1 minute left. Throw out y'all's plugs.
Yeah, just like I said before, check us out on Facebook at Angels of Light Paranormal Society. We're on YouTube, and then we're on Blogger, where you can catch us and see what we're doing. We're going to be in Tonopah, Nevada this weekend at the Belvada Hotel. So that's a nice 6-hour drive for us, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and that's 6 hours each way.
Yes, 6 hours each way, yeah. But hey, man, any time to get an investigation in a cool place we've never been, we're there.
Yeah, no, that's definitely awesome. And, and now that we're kind of down to the, we're in the archive right now, and who knows when the hell it's going to cut us off, so Dennis and I have been cutting it off before it cuts us off, because it always seems to happen mid-sentence. But, Scott, I definitely appreciate taking the time to come on. I would love to have you and Anna on again, or
for
anybody
sure.
else, and along with anybody else from the group who wants to be on. It's just went, interview-wise and with the delay with Blog Talk and blah, blah, and all that, it's a pain in the ass. If somebody starts talking, I don't know if you noticed it between Dennis and I, you get kind of, there's a moment of confusion, moment of silence, and then somebody picks it up.
Yeah.
So, it's just nature of the beast. I hear it at least 7 to 9 seconds after it actually, or after what we say is when it comes through the the computer or my phone. So, shut up, Dennis.
blah, blah.
But,
well, before we get cut off, I want to thank you very much for having me on, because I've really enjoyed it, and it's fun to be able to talk to people and be able to hear, you know, your stories and stuff that you guys do, and you know, we're all learning, and I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, cool. This conversation, there wasn't that much intelligence that was conveyed on Dennis and my end. It was more of drunken stupors with the
it's all his fault.
With the Ghost Hunter guys and audio evidence
it's all
of
his
that.
Fault. I'm
but
sorry,
no,
was that out loud?
Was that an EVP?
Yes, it
no,
was.
No, it's all his fault. It's all his fault.
I know, it is.
It's always his fault. But I do have to tell you, Scott, I have had, now, keep in mind that I'm on the East Coast. I do want to ask you this, though. Do you think the East Coast or the West Coast, which is the most plagued, I guess, with paranormal activity?
You know, I can't say because I haven't really investigated that much on the East Coast. I do know that out here, because of the, you know, the gold rush and the hardships people went through, I mean, you know, being in Vegas and stuff, it just depends on the area and what was going down. I mean, there's a lot of activity out here, but there's a lot of activity on the East Coast too, because it's a different, you got a different thing, you know, with Revolutionary War and Civil War and all that stuff out there. So, I mean, I couldn't really say for sure, you know. I just know that I'm impressed with this area. There's a lot of places to go to, and there's, you know, a lot of cool places that we still want to go to. So I'm looking forward to it. And I'd love to come on the East Coast to investigate. So if you guys are ever looking for somebody, let us know.
Oh, well, by all means. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I love the answer that you just gave. And, Matt, you're in the Midwest. Shut the fuck up. You don't even qualify for East Coast or West Coast. So
No. What I was going to say is it's not Tupac and Biggie of the paranormal. East side, west side.
yo, 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 we the most haunted. We the East Coast. We got this shit. But I'll tell you what. If you ever want to come to the East Coast, or if, you know, bank ever affords you to, you know, come to the East Coast, I promise you this. I have three locations that I will take you to that you will not resent or not be upset that you got to. One is my King's Training Grounds. Two is a national cemetery that has been forgotten about.
Hmm.
And three is a Civil War joint hospital that East and North, or North and South, took care of.
Mm-hmm.
That would be up in Gordonsville, Virginia, the Exchange Hotel. Both armies, North and South, guarded the hotel during the Civil War. It is phenomenal. The Exchange Hotel is off the charts active.
Cool.
But you're more than welcome. I'll open up a room in my house that y'all can crash in. But thank you so much for taking the time to come on air with us.
That was great fun. I was glad to do it.
And finding out about the West Coast and, Left Coast, what y'all deal with, it sounds to me like y'all deal with the same shit that we deal with on the East Coast, simply because it's spirit in nature,
right?
No matter what time frame. So that's pretty cool.
Well, the same goes for you guys.
Scott, real quick, I have to go on record saying that I am wearing a Ghost of the Queen Mary shirt right now.
Nice. No, I was just going to say, the same goes for you guys. If you're ever out here, you know, make sure you look us up and we'll find a good place for you.
Vance, I'll probably be out there sooner than later, to be honest. My uncle lives in Studio City.
That's only because you've got family out there, you jackass.
Yeah, that's what I said. My uncle lives in Studio City. And I'd also have to go visit my dear, dear friend, Scott Grunewald. So he's been asking for me to come out there and us to do some shit together, so.
So, yeah, if you come out this way, you'll have to look us up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks. Just one last finale, huh?
Yeah, I had to. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Scott, I'm going to drop you now, brother. But thank you so much for joining us. I don't know how much time Blog Talk is going to give before we hear that little British bitch go, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Goodbye.
And then she just chucks us out. But thank you so much for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're on the West Coast, make sure to get in touch with ALPS, and they are just stand-up people. Anna, Scott, great people. You definitely want to be in touch with them. But Scott, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been a blast. and it's been very informative as well.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. You guys have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Like
you
I said, too. And we have to get a show with you and Anna involved.
Definitely.
So.
And
but
as a final parting shot, I'm going to play.
I got this. Don't worry about that.
You're going to play us out?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, Scott, then I will say this. I don't know what the hell he's going to do for the music play out, but I want to thank you for your time and your dedication in serving our country. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Matt, what now?
I clicked play.
And you're doing so great.
There we go.
Thank you again,
sir. Yeah, I'm chilling on the dirt road, laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window, an ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, it's got me reminiscing on them good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on mud tires. Back in the day, Pop's Farm was a place to go. Load a truck up, hit the dirt road. Jump the barbed wire, spread the word. Light the bonfire and call the girls. King in the can and the Marlboro man. Jack and Jim were a few good men. Where you learn how to kiss and cuss and fight too. Better watch out for the boys in blue. And all this small town, he said, she said. Ain't it funny how rumors spread like I know something y'all don't know. Man, that talk is getting old. You better mind your business, man. Watch your mouth before I have to knock that loud mouth out. I'm tired of talking, man. Y'all ain't listening. Them old dirt roads is what y'all live. I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, got me reminiscing on the good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on mud tires. Sit back and think about them good old days, the way we were raising our southern ways. And we like cornbread and biscuits, and if it's broke around here, we fix it. I can take y'all where you need to go, down to my hood, back in them woods. We do it different round here, that's right, but we sure do it good, and we do it all night. So if you really want to know how it feels to get off the road, trucks and four wheels, jump on in, and man, tell your friends, we'll raise some hell with a blacktop in. Chilling on a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, got me reminiscing on them good times. Turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on the tires, that's right. On a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones.